All right, I have absolutely too many props today, and I'm your prop guy, all right? If you like messages with a lot of manipulatives or props or whatever, I'm your guy. My name's Tim Severance. I'm the associate minister here at the Kalkaska Church of Christ by title. And Andy has gone on the mission trip, as we mentioned before. Youth will be here next week with the service, and Andy will be back in a couple weeks from today. But the message this morning I want to bring to you is called The Mind of Christ. The Mind of Christ. And we're going to get to a text here in a minute in 1 Corinthians. But I wanted to do an illustration, kind of an experiment, if you will, to illustrate how do we know someone's mind? It's kind of a tricky thing to know someone's mind. And I'm a fan of the illusions and tricks and shows. America's Got Talent always has a magician that's usually part of the program. So I enjoy watching those. But I wondered if we could try an experiment this morning together. Would you help me with an experiment? Can I get some heads nodding there? All right. Let's go. Let's try this. All right, what I've got here is a beach ball, and you may have seen this before, is we're going to throw this into the crowd. And what I'm going to do with the beach ball is I want to develop something, some kind of randomness, all right? We're going to throw this a couple times, and if you catch it, you may be someone who comes up here and helps me, okay? I'm going to need three people to come up here and assist me, okay? So if you're someone that says, I don't want to be up there, then just don't catch the ball, okay? But we're going to start over here in this section here. And when you catch it the first time, throw it to somebody else. Throw it nice and high. You got the whole place to throw it to. All right? We got some non-participants. I'm going to need some help back there. All right? Throw up to a big group of people. Good. Let's throw it one more time. One more time. And who's going to get it there? Somebody get it. All right. Do you want to assist me? All right. Throw it again. Throw it again. It's not going to be a hard job at all. You don't even have to speak. Okay. Who's got it? Do you want to assist me, Mary Kay? Oh, yeah. Patty, come on up here, Patty. Give her a hand. Give her a hand. All right, that's one. I only have 30 minutes here, so here we go. Try it again. A little faster this time. There we go. They know the drill. All right. Somebody catch it. There we go. Mike, you want to assist me? Excellent. Give him a hand. Let's try one more over here. I need one more person. Bop that around. There we go. Like you're at a ball game. You just don't care. Help. Help. Is Teddy back there? Is that Teddy? You want to help, Teddy? Troy, come on up. Excellent. Fine candidates.
Thank you.
All right, you guys come right up here. Troy, you stay on this side if you would, right here. So you're going to be on my left side. Mike, you're in the middle. And Patty, you'll be there on the right side. What we've got in this bag is about 12 miscellaneous objects, okay? And what I'm going to have each one of you do when I tell you, not until, is pick one of these objects out of the bag, okay, and just hold it. All right, does that make sense? All right, so right now I'm going to go on stage, and Andrew, can you come, can you tackle these stairs with me, man? And all right, I need an assistant, because what I'm going to do is try to read their minds. They're going to pick an object and hold it, all right, and people are going to be thinking of what that object is, and I'm going to read their mind as to what they're holding. But before I do that, I'm going to need some assistance here because I need to be blindfolded. First of all, can you see through that half dollar?
No.
No. Okay, I'm going to tape those to my eyes. Can you see through the mask?
No.
You want to put it up to your eyes? Okay. All right. And then, and then how about that bag? Can you see through the bag? It's a homemade bag, okay? We had to do with what we had. But nonetheless, if you put it over your head, can you see through it? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to put all three of those over my eyes rather quickly, I hope. And then we will play the game. Okay? So you hold the mic. And I want you to, I'll do the first one. You might have to do the second one. We're going to tape this right over my eye. All right? I'm a professional. It's okay. I've done this one other time.
Did you talk to Tom Coverley about this before you tried it?
Did not talk to Tom. All right, here we go. I'm going to go with this one. Then you're going to hand me this and the bag. All right. The mask. Here we go. All right. Is that covering my eyes?
Yes.
All right. And then the bag. And then hand me back the mic. All right. Can you hear me? All right. Now, I'll even turn around. But I forget who's on my right. Is it Patty? Patty, take something out of the blue bag and hold it. And just let everybody see it. There's no mirrors back behind here, not that I could see them if there were, but I'm going to hold that up. Hold it up so everybody can see it. All right. And it's something, it looks like it's, I know what I forgot. Everybody needs to think about what she's holding, please. I'm going to read your mind waves. It's rectangular, it's got a lot of buttons on it. I want to say it's the remote control. Yeah? Okay. All right, Mike, are you in the middle? You take something else out of the bag, please. Anything you like. And hold it. Show everybody so they can start thinking about it. And you think about it as well. All right, we got it. It's something that's soft, brown. Is it the teddy bear? All right. Two for two. Troy, take something out of the bag, please. Hold it up. Show everybody. And think. Everybody think on that object. Think on the object. I'm feeling something round. Okay, it's white. I'm going to say it's the softball. Am I right? Thank you, everybody. See if I can see again. All right. Thank you, Andrew. Everybody, you can take a seat. Leave the items there. Give them a round of applause, would you? All right, let's pray and go home. Oh. There you go. That would fit. Okay, the message this morning is the mind of Christ, okay? And it comes from the scripture in 1 Corinthians. Just a minute, I got to get my eyes back in circulation again. If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 2. If you want to use the app, you can scan the QR code of the paper in front of you, or you can go to the Bible app and go to events, and we always put the church sermon notes and announcements in that Bible app. You can read it from home, on vacation, or right here, anywhere you are. But turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 16. This is the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he says these words in verse 1. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And that's a key in this whole chapter, is the Spirit's power, because this is where we get our strength from. This is where we get our knowledge from, is the Spirit. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom. This wisdom is a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. We're kind of seeing into the mind of God and what he planned, and we didn't know what was going to happen. Verse 10, these are the things God's revealed to us by his Spirit. It's not something naturally known, but through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep, deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with the Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. He's kind of referring to the carnal nature of a person versus the spiritual nature of a person. Someone who is a Christian versus the non-Christian. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. And this is the key verse, verse 16. Pay attention to this. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Let me say that again. Who's known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay? Our current series is called Beyond Belief. Beyond Belief. And I thought with a title like that, I could probably do a little mind reading and get away with it. Beyond Belief. But it goes beyond just tricks and illusions, which that was. It's a spiritual thing that we believe in an unseen world. We know that there's a battle going on and we can't even visualize it. We're using a book called Core 52 by Mark E. Moore. And in fact, if you're reading along, today's chapter is chapter 43. Chapter 43, you might jot that down if you want to keep up or if you're behind, so you know where we are. Do we know the mind of God? Is it possible to know the mind of God? The verse says, who does? Who can teach God anything? And I think of Old Testament passages. I think of Moses. Remember the story of Moses when he was a baby and he was pulled out of the waters by the Pharaoh's daughter and then raised in the Egyptian culture. For 40 years, he grew up under the household of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter. And he knew all of the ins and outs, but yet he knew he was one of God's people. And when he was 40, he saw a man mistreating another, a man, an Egyptian, mistreating one of the Hebrew slaves. And he took it upon himself because he figured it's God's plan that he would justify, he would mete out justice on that Egyptian by killing him and hiding him in the sand. Well, that didn't go very well, and he was found out, and he was exiled. And for 40 more years, he was in the desert watching sheep. He became a shepherd. And that's the point when God revealed his plan at the burning bush and said, hey, Moses, I've got some things in store for you. I've got a plan for you. Moses had no idea what God's plan was for his life. Again, we read in Job where Job was the puppet, if you would, of God and Satan as he was being tested for his faith. And Job's friends, they thought they knew the mind of God. And they said, you know, you probably sinned. If you just confess your sins and repent, everything will be fine. But again, that was not what was going on. And people did not know that. We do not know the mind of God. That's pretty clear. Basically, we don't know what he's planning to do. And we're not in a position to teach him anything. The Lord doesn't need anyone to instruct him. God doesn't go to counseling where he would gain insight or wisdom. He's neither Western Michigan or a Michigan Tech graduate where he's gone to learn things at college. And he doesn't go home and talk it over with his spouse, which is a very wise thing to do for you men, is talk it over with your spouse. But God doesn't need to do that. But we have the mind of Christ. Wait, the verse says at the end, we have the mind of Christ. Wait a minute, I just talked and read that we don't know what God's doing or we don't understand. But the scripture Paul writes is that we have the mind of Christ. How is this possible? How is this possible? Well, I think basically what Paul is saying is we need to be like-minded with Christ. We need to have the same mindset as Christ. We need to be on the same page as Jesus Christ. If you're a parent, you know that it's very effective to parent with your spouse. It's called same-page parenting, to be on the same page in what you're doing and be consistent together. It's also effective if you're on a coaching team and you have a ball team and you have assistant coaches for all of you to be on the same page when you're coaching your team. A board that's like-minded, they're able to lead a company very effectively. Like-mindedness is a strength and a unifying asset in leadership. So we are to have the mind of Christ. Before we look at the mind of Christ, though, who are the we that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians? Of course, we know Corinthians was a church. They met at Corinth. And if you go back one page to chapter 1, Paul writes in verse 2 of chapter 1, to the church of God, this is who the letter's written to, the church of God in Corinth, we know that, it could have been in Kalkaska, it could be in Mancelona, Traverse City, to the church in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So it's not just the church at Corinth, but actually he expanded it to be all people who do what? Who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are clearly those who've given their lives to Jesus Christ and made him Lord and Savior. So how does that happen? And we share this frequently, but how does this happen? It's pretty simple. There's kind of a few steps. We hear the gospel message. We believe what we've heard, okay? And the Jews had to believe he was the Messiah. And we believe that. We confess that Jesus is our Lord, our Savior. Lord, we may not understand Lord. We don't live in a culture like that. We could say coach today. He's our coach. He's going to tell us the plays, tell us what to do. This book is our plan book. And we take it home and we read it and we learn the plans and then we follow the coach. And then we repent of our sins. It's a total turnaround and lifestyle from the way of the world to the way of the Spirit. And then finally we're immersed through baptism, through the watery grave where we receive forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, I know we talk about this a lot of times, but I think it bears referring to because a lot of times I go to another church or I go to a concert or I'll read something or see a video and it seems like the speaker leaves something out. You know, it's just kind of like come forward and raise your hand or come forward, say a prayer. And it's more than that. OK, it is that the scripture supports that, but it's more than that. And if we read through the book of Acts, we see each time the people were doing all of these things, believing, confessing, repenting, and being baptized. So I was thinking about that last weekend as I was watching the TV. And if you're a Lions fan, you're going to enjoy this week because last week there was a play that I thought, oh, that's really illustrative, I don't know the word, for what I'm talking about. Because you're going to see here in a moment a clip from last week's football game. And what happened is the coach, Dan Campbell, called the play. The offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, put it into motion. The quarterback, Jared Goff, threw the ball. And the wide receiver, Aaron Ra St. Brown, caught the ball. And a running back, Craig Reynolds, made an amazing block so that St. Brown could score a touchdown. So the question is, who scored the touchdown? Was it the coach? Was it the offensive coordinator? Was it the quarterback? Was it the blocker? Was it the running back? Let's watch this clip. And maybe you've never looked at it this way, but salvation, coming to Christ, involves not only belief, but also confessing, also saying Jesus is Lord, saying I will repent of my sins, and being baptized. Baptism is like crossing the line of the touchdown. So I didn't know if you've ever seen it that way, but I thought I would share it with you in a different way. We, you see, are on the same team. We are on God's team, and we have the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus through the Spirit. And if you have your notes here, we're going to fill in a few of these blanks. And this is the message here. I'll try to keep it short. Number one, the mind of Christ is backward. It's backward. That's your first fill in, backward. And I'm going to use an object lesson because I want you to remember this sermon. Okay? So Tim was up there and he grabbed his hat. And instead of putting it on forward, he put it on backward. Okay? And you're going to see this all week. You know, people are going to say, what was the message about Sunday? You're going to say, well, I remember the first point was backward. And then you can elaborate what he said. Because the mind of Christ is backward. Okay? It's otherworldly. It's as if your shirt was inside out. Okay? It's backwards. And there's scripture verses. I'm not going to read them all this morning, but your point there, A, says, he who loses his life will find it. That's from Matthew 10:38-39. He who finds his life will lose it. It's just topsy-turvy. It's backward in the kingdom of God. B, the least will be greatest. The least will be greatest, or the greatest will be least. It's flipped upside down in the kingdom of God. C, the last will be first, or the first will be last. I remember on our honeymoon, we've been married now 23 years, I think. I got a smile. 23 years. We went to Paris, France on our honeymoon. And we had booked a flight from Detroit to London Heathrow Airport. And we were flying on British Airlines. And I didn't care, you know, what happened. I just wanted to get to the honeymoon and find a place to stay. And we've got story after story of what happened there. But we got on the plane, and, you know, me being as cheap as I could, we had tickets for the plane, but we had the very back seat of the plane. I mean, we were over the whatever's in the back, the engine or whatever, and because we could hear the roar of the engine. And I remember the ceiling cut down, so I almost had to hunch over in my chair. And we were in the back corner of the plane. And we're getting ready to take off, and the steward came up to us. And he bent over and said, I understand it's your anniversary. I understand you're on your honeymoon. And we said, yeah, we are. He said, well, we've got a place for you. And he said, would you follow me? And he led us up the aisle past all the common cast passengers, the coach passengers, the business class passengers, up to first class, where he said, here, we'd like to give you these seats. And so Anita and I went up to the first class, and there was these hot towelettes, and we got our own little TV screen, and they gave us little appetizers to eat before the regular food. We got a personal pillow. We got a glass of champagne, and they said, when you go, we'll give you a bottle of champagne. And we just felt like $1 million. So that feeling where we come from the least up to the best, I understand that. And that's what God is going to do with us. Now, he might not do that for you in this life. In fact, I don't think he's going to do that for most of us in this life. It's something that comes in the future. But this is preparation in this life to allow other people to go first, to allow other people to be better than ourselves. Let me take off the hat. Don't forget that. It's backward. Number two, the mind of Christ is humble. The mind of Christ is humble. That fill-in is the word humble, H-U-M-B-L-E. And, of course, the opposite of humility is pride. But I'm going to show you this cross so you can remember this. The mind of Christ is humble. Where do we see that in Scripture? We see that in Philippians 2, 1 through 8. And the fill-in is the humility of Christ is seen in the cross. The cross. And I'm going to do this with one hand, but we're going to go to Philippians. If you want to join me there, you can. In the New Testament, you should mark scripture verses if you're going to preach. Just so you know. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 8. I'm going to read this quickly because time is fleeting here. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort with his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. If you have a pen and you write in your Bible, underline like-minded. Like-minded. Having one same love, being one in the Spirit, and of one mind. This is NIV. I'm not sure if you have ESV or what, but this is one mind. Underline that. Do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, there's our key word, value others above yourself. Put others first. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. This is the mind of Christ that I'm reading here. The mind that we're to have through the Spirit. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Underline mindset. The same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He chose that. He allowed that to happen. He wasn't arrested and restrained so that he couldn't get away. He could have called, myriads of angels to rescue him. He submitted himself to death on a cross, a humiliating death hanging there in front of people. The mind of Christ is humility. A, B, take up your cross and follow me. This is from Luke 9:23. Take up your cross and follow me. A.W. Tozer wrote three things about someone on a cross. I like this. Three things about them. They're facing only one direction. Okay? They're facing only one direction. They're veering to the left or the right. They're going in one direction. They're not going back. All right? They're not going backwards. They're going forward. No way they're looking back. And C, they have no plans of their own. Their plans have been dictated for them. What's going to happen? No plans of their own. Number three, the mind of Christ is characterized by love. And I know you've heard this a million times. Love one another. As Christ loved the church, love one another. Love your husbands, love your wives. This is a glass Christmas ornament that I gave my wife. Again, she had a good year that year we were courting and getting married and everything. It's been downhill from there on. I gave her this glass heart ornament in this velvet box, and there's a poem in there that I wrote. But I want you to think of this heart as symbolizing love. You probably won't. You're just going to have to sit it there. As love. Because the mind of Christ is characterized by love. Okay? And A, love those who are different than you. I was going to write your enemies, but that's too easy. Love those who are different than you. Because today we see a lot of people that don't share the same opinion that we do, that I do. You have different opinions than I do. People on Facebook have different opinions. People in the political realm have different opinions. People in sports have different opinions. What do? When we come to someone who has a different opinion than us, we love them. We love them. We may discuss with them, we may dialogue with them, we may partner with them, but we love them despite our differences. And so you could take this any way you'd like to. What do we do with the LGBTQ community? What do we do with these people? We love them. We love them. How do you respond to a difficult coworker? You love them. You love them. How do you respond to somebody who's an atheist? They don't even believe in God anymore. You love them. You love them. And Andy and I actually had an opportunity because we had a youth minister growing up in this church. I'll throw his name out. John Loftus. He's made videos against Christianity. He does podcasts against Christianity. And his whole life has been devoted to be anti-God. He's written a dozen books against Christianity. So what did we do when John showed up here at the church building in his makeshift van? We said, hey, John, how about we go to lunch together? And we took John to our house And we sat down, we introduced him to my family, and we talked to John about things, how they were, how they are. We just loved him, okay? We just loved him. We don't agree with him, farthest from agreeing with him, but we just loved him. And that's, I think, is the key, is that we love because love comes from God. And that's B, love one another for love comes from God. Love one another for love comes from God. That's your last fill-in. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He that loveth not doesn't have love for I can't read that far away. There we go. Been born of God and knows God. My illustration for that verse is a family. Okay, I don't know if you had this happen when you were a kid, but I did something and my mom turned around at me and said, "Tim, we don't act that way in our family." And it struck me. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in this family and we act this certain way. And maybe you as a parent have done this to your children. It's a really good technique. We don't do that in our family. We don't act that way. And that's what God is saying here in Scripture. And Paul's writing and Jesus has shown us is that we act lovingly toward other people despite our differences. All right, let me wrap up with another video clip. Summation here is the mind of Christ is a way of thinking that leads to a way of acting each and every day, not just Sunday morning. It guides us. It guides our each and every thought, our each and every decision, and our each and every action. Okay. If you like football, you're here in a good week, because last week, Deion Sanders, Mr. Primetime himself, the only athlete, pro athlete, that was in a Super Bowl and also a World Series, probably one of the best, if not the best, cornerback in the NFL to have ever played the game. He's coaching Colorado this year. It's his first year. Okay, so the media is all over him. Like, what are you going to do? How's your team going to play? And players have transferred to Colorado just to play for Deion Sanders. And they're having an okay year. Their first game was wonderful out of the gate, and everybody's on the bandwagon cheering for him. But last week, they were up 29-0 at halftime. And by the end of the game, double overtime, they lost the game. They lost a 29-point lead. And he was at the interview podium, and he said, "This is what I told my players." Go ahead and play that clip. To have the mind of Christ means that you're going to love Jesus and his will for your life, and you're going to match Jesus, your coach. You're going to match his passion for people. You're going to match his heart. You're going to match his love. You're going to match his consistency. You're going to match Jesus' mannerisms. Just match Jesus in each and every way. Why don't you stand with me and we're going to sing.